Good morning, Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am doing good, thank God, you know, preparing for Pesach and all that. So we're getting there. We will be there by the time the first night comes along.
That's good. The house is clean. No comments.
We're just about there, you know. Kitchen's done and we're going to still be living on the dining room, but that's the easy part. So
are you looking for it with a candle?
That we're going to do Sunday night.
Okay.
Which is what we're going to talk about, but we'll start with that. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Biur Chametz.
Right. Monday night is the first night of Pesach. Tuesday night is the second night of Pesach. Now, the custom is that we search for our Chametz in our house to make sure that when we come Monday, after we burn the Chametz, that Monday night is ready for the Seder, that we're not going to find any bread or any cakes or any cookies and crumbs and so on. And so Sunday night, we go with the children with the spoon and the feather and the candle, and we go and we look for the Chametz. A lot in the house. A lot of people, the house would be clean by then, so the problem comes up is that now I'm going to go and look for the Chametz. I'm going to make a special blessing when I look for it, but I'm not going to find any Chametz because everything should be clean already. So that means that when I make my blessing, I'm going to be making the blessing in vain. I'm saying God's name for nothing because I'm not going to find any of the Chametz. And one of the things that we do is we take pieces of bread, we put them in newspapers, 10 of them, and we put them around the room that when I start doing my searching, oh wow, I just found a piece of bread, and some more, and some more. And so therefore, when I make my blessing, I'm not going to be making it in vain, saying God's name for nothing, but more the fact is that I'm going to find it. And then I can go through the whole house and everywhere else to make sure that my house is rid and completely clean of Chametz. Now, you know, one of the things is people always have a question. Now, what is an appropriate gift? You know, I'm invited to someone's house for the first night date or for the second night date. You know, we're nice. We're the nice people, and we want to bring a gift to the family's house, you know, thanking them for inviting us. But the question is, what is an appropriate gift for me to give to my Seder host? You know, we want to feel that we're not taking advantage. We want to do something right, and, you know, we want to know maybe I can bake some chocolate chip cookies. You know, there really isn't any maybe yeast in them. You know, what's the thing? So, one of the answers that I would tell someone, and one of the most easiest things is that on Passover, we don't only refrain from using yeast, but we also don't use anything which contains flour, which, except the one that is certified special for kosher for Passover, for the matzah. And furthermore, anything that we consume on Passover has to be prepared in dishes and utensils that have not been used for leavened bread. So probably the best bet that I would give people if they're worried, you know, what can they bring to the Seder to their family, friend, is, you know, send a tray of fresh whole fruit, a bouquet of flowers, a Passover recipe book, a bottle of wine. Something like that is something that is most definitely appreciated by the host and something that, you know, they'll be able to use. Now, on Passover, we do a lot of different things. We eat a lot of different foods. And each one of them is specifically, you know, if you go and look at the Seder plate, we see a lot of different things on the Seder plate. And the question is why? Why all of these ones? What are the reasons for this? Number one, we drink wine, red wine. And the reason for that is that represents the color of blood, which has an association with slavery. They were beaten, the Jews were beaten until they bled. Blood is also associated with our freedom because on the night before the Exodus, our ancestors were commanded to kill a sheep or a goat.
Yeah.
And pour the blood on the God comes and going to kill the firstborn Egyptians. He'll jump over them.
That's the original mezuzah.
I never thought about it in that way. Very interesting.
Hmm.
And then you have the salt water, which that reminds us of the bitter tears shared by our ancestors while they were enslaved in Egypt. And then you have the masa, which is the food that our ancestors ate during their long slavery in Egypt. As we say in, you know, in the beginning of the Haggadah, Helach manya diachala the son of Aradis go. This is the bread of affliction which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. And so we today do the exact same thing. Now, if we go further in the state of place, we have their bitter herb. We have the maror, which in the lettuce, very interesting, in the lettuce, you know, in the romaine lettuce, we find an important relationship between slavery and freedom. Because it's very interesting to know that if you look, the leaves of a lettuce are not bitter. You know, in a young, fresh lettuce, they are crisp and sweet. Nevertheless, the lettuce grows from a green-white stalk, which that is very bitter. So we see the crisp, the sweet leaves of the romaine lettuce represent freedom, and the bitter stalk represents slavery. Now, freedom can only be appreciated when it is rooted in slavery. Because if you were free all your life, you don't really appreciate freedom. You don't really appreciate everything that you have.
You take it for granted.
Exactly. When you never had it, and all of a sudden now you have it, wow, it's amazing. You appreciate it. So the bitter herb, not only that it shows us on that, you know, we have freedom because of all our ancestors and so on and so forth, but it also represents the bitterness, the hardship that they had in the time of Egypt. The charoset, which everyone loves, has the appearance and texture of, you know, of river mud, really. It is, and it's from this mud that our ancestors made brick. And the charoset clearly calls to mind the harsh servitude to which our ancestors were subjected, that they have to work so hard to make the brick. But when we put the charoset in our mouth, we experience something very different. It has a sweet taste. It's a taste that no slave has ever experienced. So this is a sweetness that's associated with freedom. So that's another reason why we have the charoset. And last but not least, we have the egg and the shank bone. And, you know, both of them represent the sacrifices that were brought up in the temple. And, you know, for example, when we have a wedding by a chuppah, we break a glass. The groom breaks the glass.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that even though we're having a happy occasion, even though we're all joyous and happy, nevertheless, we're always going to remember the destruction of the Holy Temple. And therefore, we crack the glass. We break the glass. Same idea is that even though we have the freedom, even though we're happy, even though everything's amazing right now, but we still remember the Holy Temple, and it's on now that we cannot bring the sacrifices. Hopefully, soon we will be able to, but now we cannot, and therefore we are sad to that certain extent. Now, everyone will notice that on the Seder place, we have three masas that we have, which this really goes, there's a lot of reasons. One of them is, you know, that shows on Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, our forefathers. Every Shabbat, for example, and holiday, we need two loaves of challah in order to make the blessing, and in order to commemorate the double portion of manna that we received the day before Shabbat in the desert.
Yeah.
Now, in Passover, when we make the hamotzi, we also need two of them. The problem is that prior to we making our hamotzi, we take the middle matzah and we break it in half. And half of it goes for the afikoman. So now, if I only have two matzot there, I have now one and a half. So we have three, so even though my middle one is broken and it's not a full one, I have the top one and the bottom one, which still represents the two whole ones that I can now make the blessing. As well as it represents the three groups that the Jews are divided into, Kohen, Levi, and Israelite. One more thing that we'll talk about, and then I have a recipe that hopefully this will be something that's not bad. Why do we have four cups of wine on Passover? What's the reason? So God used four mentions of redemption in describing our exodus when he took us out of Egypt, and when we became the birth of a nation. I will take you out, I will save you, I will redeem you, and I will take you as a nation. Those four expressions of redemption is one of the reasons why we have the four cups of wine, as well as it represents our four matriarchs, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. Now, there's one recipe that my wife was telling me about, which is lemon ices, which is very easy to make, as well as it's something that's very refreshing that you can have on Passover and Pesach. Takes about 10 minutes of prep time, I think about 4 minutes of cook time, and you're good to go. So what you need is, you need 2 cups of water, 1 1/4 cups sugar, and 8 teaspoons salt, 2 teaspoons lemon zest, and 1/2 cup fresh squeezed lemon juice. And what you do is, in a saucepan, you bring the water to a boil and stir the sugar and the salt until it's dissolved. You cool it, you wait till it's cool. You add lemon zest and juice, pour into a metal ice cube tray with dividers. Remove them, you can have them whatever you want, or a metal bowl, or a 9-inch square baking pan, and freeze. After about 1.5 hours, remove it from the freezer, and take a fork and go through the ice to fluff it a little bit.
Yeah.
Now you return it into the freezer for about another 2 hours. Remove from the freezer about 20 minutes before serving. It's ice, it's easy, and it's really tasty. Now, a tip and an easy way to zest the lemon is to use a grater with small holes and grate the peel of the lemon directly over a bowl to catch it. And be sure to use only the colored part of the peel. One lemon yields approximately 1 tablespoon of zest. And zest is best grated fresh. And once you grate it, you need to use it immediately. So that is something that's called lemon ices. Very easy to do. You can definitely probably even Google search lemon ices. But that's something that...
But you can trust the rabbi's wife.
That's right. And it's after matzah and all this heavy stuff. You know, you just like something that's nice and refreshing. So that's it. I want to wish everyone a kosher and a happy Pesach. We should really feel the true freedom that we're going to have this year, going out of all our boundaries. And everyone should enjoy family time, eating the matzah and eating the dinners with the family, and really taking the meaning of Seder and spreading with our kids, letting the kids ask the questions, the Manish Tana, or any other question that they have. And hopefully with this will be our last Pesach in exile. Hopefully we'll have the Mashiach will come. We'll all be in the Holy Temple, where life will be great, and we will have no sorrows, no pain, and no sickness, no suffering. And with that, we'll be able to eat the true Paschal sacrifice and serve God in the most unique way.
Rabbi, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, and I want to wish you a happy Pesach, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Be well.
Be well.
Okay, bye-bye.